CJ. We're going to be in Acts chapter 27 tonight. Pastor asked me Sunday night if I would fill in for him while he's at the BIMI conference, and I said, praise the Lord, I'd be honored to do that. We have a great pastor, have great staff here, and I thank the Lord for the privilege and the honor to step behind his pulpit once in a while and to preach the Word of God. It's been a great day for me. I thank the Lord. Most of you know me. My name's Larry N. Bowden. You probably know my son, Terry, a lot better than me. I don't get around too much anymore. But I was a lay pastor for about 20 years, worked a full-time job, and then pastored in most of the churches that we were in. And then I pastored full-time as an assistant pastor and did church planning work outside of Vandenberg Air Force Base for 20 years. And so the Lord's been good to me. He's given me a great life, and I thank the Lord. I have a heritage that fears the Lord, and I thank the Lord for that. My kids are growing up, and they're doing fine, better probably parents than I was in my life. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight and to be a part of this congregation. A little bit disappointed. We have a gentleman in our church tonight that we just voted in. I think it was Sunday. I believe he said, you're 88 years old. Is that right, my friend? I think he's 88 years old. Is that correct? Well, I'm 86. Yeah, we got a special day coming up on July 6th. We're having a big meeting over on our property. That's my birthday. And so they've arranged the whole thing for me. Going to have fireworks and cake and barbecue and the whole thing. I didn't know that they were going to do that, but praise God. God's good to this old preacher. But he's a little bit disappointed. He's 88 years old. We have a Glory Days class over there, and I'm 86 years old. I'll be 87 on the 6th of July. And I'm kind of a little bit disappointed because the oldest guy gets first in line. And now, guess what? I'm second in line. I have to get behind this gentleman over here. Thank the Lord, my friend, for you. I'm not trying to put you down or anything, just joking a little bit. Our folks like to joke a little bit once in a while, and I thank the Lord for that. But it's, again, good to be here tonight with you, and I assume you have your Bibles open already. I don't have mine, but I'll get there in a minute. But in Acts chapter 27, if you're able tonight, if you could stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in verse number 9 through verse number 20. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, also if by any means they might attain to Phoenix. I call it Phoenix. Phoenix is a good place to winter in. I've been there in the summer. Don't go in the summer. It's like 120 degrees in the shade. And so, but this is, anyway, that's where they're going. All right. If by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called a Rachidon. For when the ship was caught, they could not bear up, and to the wind we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing, lest they should fall into quicksands. Strake sail, and so were driven, and being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, the helm of this church. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me tonight. Cleanse me, O Lord, from sin and self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, that I might speak the word of God tonight, that it'll be recognizable and it would be a help to those that are in attendance here tonight. I love you, Lord. Count it a great privilege to be here with these dear folks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. I'm going to preach a message God laid upon my heart here. Losses from not listening. So oftentimes we don't listen to people that stand behind the pulpit as I am here tonight. This pulpit, I think of it as we're sailing through life, is the helm. You know, the front of the ship is called the bow. The back end is called the stern. That's where we get our power from. But the front end has to be fortified. On the left side is the port side. That's where we take people in to our church and win people to Christ. On the right side is called the starboard side. And that's where you have to have it reinforced, because that's the side normally that people attack when you're at port. But the thing about the ship is, on top of the ship, there's the captain's quarters. And on top of the captain's quarters is the helm of the ship. This pulpit, and any pulpit where you stand behind, is the helm of the church. And anytime someone gets behind the helm or behind the pulpit of God's choice, you need to be careful that you listen, because there are losses from not listening to the word of God. We live in a society today that's absolutely gone crazy. They're not listening to God's word anymore, not even attentive to it. But thank God people in our local churches still can listen and attend to the word of God. I've been talking to the Glory Days class over there about navigating through life. We've been looking at Paul's journey here as he's going to Rome. He was sent to Rome because he wanted to go there. They tried to convict him, held him back about 2 years or so. But finally, he's on his way. And as he's navigating on his way to Rome, the city of Seven Hills, an imperial city where the ruling powers of the world ruled at that particular time, he's going to that place there. But on the way, there's some struggles. And one of the struggles he had in this situation here is while they were going on ship and aboard the ship they were sailing on. In Acts chapter 27, verses 4 through 8, just to give you a little bit of background here, he gave them some cautions that they needed to live by. And I brought this message to the folks over in the Glory Days class about sailing. I said you need to be sailing, and you'll note those words in there: sailing under, sailing over, sailing into, sailing slowly. And I gave them some points about how that applies to our Christian life. And so oftentimes we try to live our lives the way we want to live our lives, not according to God wants us to live our life. So we've got to make sure in our life we get Christ back at the helm of our life. Amen. If you don't have him at the helm of your life, you're going to suffer some losses. And we'll look at that in just a little bit here. And then verses 9 through 9 through 14, the verses we read there to you, he gave them some counsel. So he gave them some cautions. He says you need to be careful how you're sailing through life and make sure that God's at the helm. Number two, he gave them some counsel to protect them. Thank God we have the word of God that can counsel us and protect us. Amen. We're not without excuse. We say so oftentimes, I don't know what to do. Well, the reason we don't know what to do is because we're not in the book. So God's people have to be in the book and understanding what God's mind is. This Bible is God's mind on everything. And so you get that in your life, you're going to find out that's going to protect you. So he's trying to give some counsel to protect them there. And so verses 9 through 11, he says, in his counsel, by the way, the Bible said, look at the word there, he admonished them. That means he gave them some counsel, he advised, gave them some warnings on this trip that they were going on. They were on the Alexandra, the largest ship at that particular time, which was from Alexandria, Virginia. They were taking grain over different ports around the world. So they were on a large ship here. This wasn't just any little ship. that they were traveling on. So he gave them some wide counsel. He said there, you notice in that verse number 9, he says the sailing is now dangerous. That word dangerous is important because it means it's going to cost a lot. We need to be careful how we live our life. The mistakes we make in our life so oftentimes will cost us a lot, sometimes more than we can handle. Number 2, in verse number 10, he gave them from wide experience. He says, I perceive there. The Greek word is apa, which means from what God has given me. Has God given you anything this week? I'll guarantee it. If you've been in God's Word and been alone with Him for any time at all, He's given you something from God's Word. That's why it's important we get in God's Word and we read His Word every day. So oftentimes we try to make excuses why we don't do it, but the excuse is not valid because that excuse will cost you a lot because God has so much force in the Word of God. So He says, I perceive from what God has given me. He said the sailing would be damaging. And let me just get over there to that verse again, which I was reading there. In verse number, he said the verse will be with hurt and much damage, and not only to the lading and the ship, but also our lives. So he's giving them some real good counsel here to protect them in their life. And then in verse number 11 is probably one of the saddest words that you'll see in the Bible, the word nevertheless. In spite of all the caution, in spite of all the counseling the great apostle Paul was to give them, God's man on board this ship, counseling these sailors, the owner and the master and the centurion, all those folks on that ship, he was giving them some sound counsel. But in verse number 11, that word nevertheless means in spite of all the cautions, in spite of all the counsel that he gave them, he was willfully rejected. What a sad situation. You know, so oftentimes we're that way in our pews, are we not? Pastor gets behind the pulpit, preaches something from the Word of God, and we just let it fly over our heads. We willfully reject what the Word of God has to say. You know, the truth of the matter is you're not rejecting the speaker. You're rejecting God. When he's preaching from God's Word, if you don't do what says there, or if it doesn't apply to your life in some way, you're not rejecting the speaker. You're rejecting God. So always remember that in your life. And then in verses 12 and 13, he has some concerns about them doing things their way. He wanted to get them back on track again. And that's basically what a preacher does. He tries to get people back on track. Amen? To start living their lives back for him again so they don't run into problems and difficult situations in their life. And then he says in verse number 12, he uses this word, the haven was not commodious. They were at Fair Havens. Fair Havens, they were backed up to the island of Crete there. They had their back to the wall there, but they had 180 degrees all around them there. And Paul was admonishing them. He says, I think it's dangerous. It's the fall time of the year. This is not spring, fellows. The fast is already past. It's wintertime. In wintertime, the storms come up. Euroclydon, all of those things come up. Cyclonic things come up during that time. So he's warning them. But the reason why they woefully rejected him is in verse number 12. It was not commodious. That word not commodious is globi in the Greek, which means it has nothing to offer. No Starbucks. Amen. No Sears and Roebuck. No Sam's Club. That's where I shop. No places like that. It was not commodious. Nothing there. And so they wanted to go 42 to 45 miles farther down the island of Crete there to the next port. And that port, well, they wanted to get to Phoenix. That was the next port and the winter end there. So the more part, it mentions in that verse there, the more part in verse number 12, that means the majority. My friends, a majority is not always right. So we need to understand, just because a lot of people say that's right, listen to what God has to say. This book is the majority voice. Amen. So if you're going to make a decision in life, the more part of your decision ought to be based upon thus saith the Word of God. And so if you keep that in your mind, you won't go too far astray. And so, and then it mentions there in the middle of verse number 12, if by any means, that word, if by any means, and I'm not going to go into all the detail, means this, no matter what the cost. If by any means, no matter what, doesn't matter what it costs. We're living that way in the United States today. We got open borders. They claim up to 10 million illegal people have come through the southern and the northern borders. We're living today, and then no matter what the cost, they don't care. That's costing taxpayers a lot of money. It's costing a lot of people that could get help, like veterans that are sleeping in tents alongside the main roads and under viaducts and things like that. That money could be going to guys like that that deserve it, that gave their life or a portion of it to serve our Lord and Savior, amen, and to win there. So by any means, we have homosexuality going on in our classroom. We have common climate change advocates all over the world. And I don't want to get a lot into politics, but you know what I'm talking about. We have a corrupt legal system. That's demonstrated right now in our courtrooms here today. There's a two-tier service system. If you're a conservative, you're going to be dealt with different than what a liberal's dealt with. Am I not true? That's happening in our society today. So we're living in a society that says we're going to do this by any means. We don't care what it costs. We're going to live that way by any means. And then he says, why? Because we want to get to Phoenix. And Phoenix is where they want it to be. I thought of an illustration. I was reading not too long ago about the climate. Scientists now have come up with a new deal. They're going to invest million-dollar vacuum cleaners, and they're placing them all over the world. And so, praise the Lord, and what it does, it tries to pull the pollutants out of the air. Just catch this for a minute. And take the pollutants and shoot it into the ground, into a tunnel or something. Thank the Lord we still got some Christian scientists around. One guy said this, all they would have to do is to go to Amazon, order 6 of a particular tree, and it would have the same effects as this million-dollar vacuum cleaner that the climate group is coming up with. You know, God says trees. Man says vacuum cleaners. I believe God. You want to correct the atmosphere? Just plant more trees. That's the way God made it. Amen? So we need to understand that. So they wanted more. And by the way, they're going to get what they wanted. But they're going to lose what they had. Down the road, they're going to lose that whole ship, that biggest ship that was ever built in that part of the country at that time. They're going to lose it. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Number two, they were willfully deceived. Look at verse number 13. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing, there's an interesting word, supposing, that means assuming or imagining. That's kind of what people are doing today, are they not? They're not going to some absolute facts. They're just assuming or imagining this situation or that deal or this law or whatever is going to be okay. But it's not going to be okay. And so they were not considering what's true, what's proven, and what's tested here. When I think about that, I think of the story in 1 Samuel 17, 38 and 39, where David is getting ready to go in the battlefield and go up against Goliath, who was the big warrior at that time. So Saul says, I'll tell you, I've got a plan. Why don't you put on my helmet? Why don't you put on my coat of mail? Why don't you pick up my spear? Why don't you pick up, and David put it all on, and he says, I can't move. And David said this, it's not been proven. We need to make sure that our lives are proven from God's word. Live your life according to God's word, and you'll save all the consequences of what I'm going to be mentioning to you here this evening. So in verses 14 through 20, I want to preach to you a message, and this is the message. I've just given you a prelude. We'll be out of here before midnight, guaranteed. The consequences of 14 through 20, the losses from not listening. Well, we need to listen to what God has to say. I can't overemphasize that in our lives here. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that often being reproved hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." We don't need to harden our hearts towards the things of God. We need to have soft hearts. We need to say, "Preach it, preacher. I need all I can get. My life's in a mess. It's not working right. I need all the preaching I can get to help me in my life." And so that's kind of what he's talking about there. And so I've entitled that section there of Lost Their Calm. When you lose your calm, there's a lot of things that's going to happen. I'm just going to mention four things briefly to you. Hopefully I'll be out of here quickly tonight, or Pastor BJ will be over here pushing me off the side here somewhere, and I won't have time to grab my cane. I mean, a lot of things could happen, you understand. But in verse number 14, they lost power. The Bible says they were caught and driven there. Wait, let me read up back verse number 14. "But not long afterwards there arose a tempestuous wind called Rakadon. And when the ship was caught," there's the word, "and could not bear up." That word "caught" is an interesting word. It means to seize by force and carried away. Understanding now, the ship is at full sail. This big ship had all of its sails up. It's ready to go. They haven't straked sails yet. They're going to do that in just a little bit here. But they're getting ready. And so they're getting out of control here. They're at full sail. They didn't know where they were going to end up here. And so they were caught and driven. And then the Bible says also in that verse, in the last part of verse number 15, says, "We let her drive." That word "drive" means we give up to the power of something or someone else. You know, there's a problem when you don't stay in God's Word and have a prayer life that's meaningful and being faithful in church like you are tonight. The problem is we let Satan get an inroad into our life. Last Sunday morning, Pastor preached upon the wiles of the devil. And then Sunday night, Pastor Oliver taught us how to howl. Like a wolf. No, he talked about unreasonable preachers, unsane preachers. But I mean, he started wowing back there. And I sat back there on the back because it's hard for me to hold my Bible up. And so I'm hearing those echoes all over the place. And I thought, there is a wolf. There's a wolf. I know he's going to come through the door in any minute. But that means to be, the word "drive" means to give up to the power, the will, or someone or something else. Well, that's what happens when we lose our calm, when we don't get in the book. We don't have a prayer life that's meaningful. We're not being faithful to church. You're going to find out the devil knows our weaknesses, does he not, preacher? He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get into your life and my life. He's done it to me, and my friends, he'll do it to you. I'm talking to you from experience. I know what I'm talking about. We all are weak, are we not? Our flesh is weak, the Bible says. So we have to be careful and understanding there. So the ship was caught and given up there. And so we have to be careful that Satan doesn't tend to start calling the shots when we're not where we ought to be. That's what happens. He knows my weakness. He knows your weakness. Isaiah 45:9 says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his master." The word "strive" means to fight, labor, or struggle against our master and our maker. That's going to hurt you in three different ways. Number one, it's going to affect your credibility. Folks are looking at us, unsaved, looking at us, and they're saying, if that's the way a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it. It's going to affect our testimony, not only to the outsiders, but also the insiders, those within our homes. They're going to see something in our life. Well, I don't... You're going to say, well, how come you're not reading your Bible? Well, I never see you reading your Bible. I never see you praying. I've been here on Sundays, and you're right at home with me. You're not being faithful. So that it wrecks us. And the worst thing it does is our ability to minister to others. I'm sure they'd wished at this point that they'd paid more attention to the Apostle Paul, listened to him a little more carefully, and tried to understand what was going on in their life. Psalm 31:3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress," David said, "therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." I want you to know tonight, the Bible offers guidance and direction for those who were out of control of their life. So they lost control. Number two, they lost their calm. Look at verses 16 through 19, and I'm just going to try to pick up here a little bit. I still got some time here. I think you said 8:30, 9 o'clock, or was it 10? No. Anyway, let's get on with this thing here. But 16, they had trouble with the launch. The small boat that was attached to them there, look what it says, and running under a certain island, which is Claudia. Remember, they were at Crete. Now they're at a place called Claudia. They're totally out of control, not even knowing where they're at. They're at another island in a different place. If you look on your maps, not now, but later, you'll find out that Claudia is a long way from Crete. They're nowhere near where they ought to be in there. And we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up. That little boat is the boat that they drug behind them on a rope. It's called the lifeboat. Some of you have been on cruises. I have myself. When you get on cruise, there's these lifeboats all attached to the side of the cruise vessel. And they train you. If something happens, they train you. You go out this door, you go down these steps, and there's where you need to be. So you're right next to a lifeboat so you can get on and get saved. So they were actually pulling in a lifeboat. Aren't you glad we got a lifeboat? Thank God he gives us a lifeboat to jump into. When we've lost control of our life, we've lost the calm in our life. Thank God he's got a lifeboat that we can jump into. And it also says in that verse there, in verse number 16, that we had much work to come by the boat. That word much work means more than we could handle. You know, your life is more than you can handle. Unless you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and a daily way try to live your life for him, you're going to have much work to keep on living the Christian life the way you ought to live the life. So thank the Lord we got a lifeboat, and there's going to be much work. They also had trouble with leakages. I see that in verse 17 and verse 8. It said they used helps. We got a lot of helps. You know, being around Christian people is a lot of help. It's a help for me on Wednesday night. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy listening to the music and the people that can play the piano and sing. I enjoy all that. Used to do that myself, can't do that anymore, but I enjoy listening to it. I enjoy the preaching from the Word of God. I'm back there with my notepad. I'm taking messages every time any of these preachers get up. I've got notes. I'm taking messages. Why? I want to know God's mind for me. And if you take notes, sometimes it'll keep you from falling asleep. I can't go to the Glory Days class again. I'll tell you, they feed us so well. I come over here sometimes. I have my coffee. I bring us half a can of Snapple over here, pockets full of donuts. You know, it's hard for me to stay awake. And so I just thank the Lord, Brother Allen, for the Glory Days class. Amen. I ain't going to say any more. I get into trouble here if I don't shut up and keep moving on here. But what they did there, they had these ropes that helps that they put around the ship, underneath the ship. Can you imagine having that job? Give me the rope. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to put this rope around. Then they'd have a winch on deck, and they'd tighten that winch up. Otherwise, they were probably having leakages, could see with the storm bashing against the side. The boats weren't made like they are today of steel and all of that. They're made of wood. And so they could see the leakages coming in, so they had to use some helps. They called it frapping, and they would wrap something around the boat, a rope or a cable or something. They still do that in some areas, and they tighten it up with a winch on board, and some of you men can understand what I'm talking about. And that basically is take the strain off the ship to keep it together, to keep it from falling apart, to keep it from leaking. And it reminds me of what sinful living does. It takes away a person's passions, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. The terms today that we see people in our big towns is they're freaking out. They're coming apart at the seams. They've got off the deep end. Man, there's so many people that are hurting in our big cities. And Brother Greg, you're going to see that when you go to New York. You're going to see campsites all along the big buildings under the viaducts. It's a shame, isn't it? We live in a country that can't take care of our own. yet we're letting millions come in illegally, and we can't take care of anybody. Society is frappin' our mental hospitals. They basically have done away with that anymore. I remember growing up in the 50s as a young man that they had mental hospitals at that time to put people in so they could get some help. But we don't do that anymore. We try to put them on drugs. In fact, they're legalizing drugs like marijuana and things like that. Marijuana is not good to be on. Those things, that's a drug. That will affect you. They don't know what the results of all that's going to be yet. So we need to understand psychologists and all those. But all of those things tend to leave God out. And when you leave God out of the situation, you messed up. Without Jesus Christ and Bible truths and his precepts, you're going to lose peace, and you too will come apart at the seams. It's sad today, a lot of people are pursuing peace, even the United Nations, trying to have peace all over the place, but there's no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God he gives peace to his believers. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have a lack of calm or a lack of control in your life, just go to God. Get alone with him even tonight. Say, Lord, I've got some things in my life that I'm kind of out of control. Be honest with you, Lord. Just talk to him like I'm talking to you. Say, Lord, I've lost some calm in my life. I'm having some troubles. Get alone with God and he'll help you out. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love that law, love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Thank the Lord, we can have calm. But they had trouble with the launch. They lost power. They were caught and driven. They had trouble with the leakages. They lost peace and were coming apart at the scene. And number three, they had trouble with location. They were afraid of wrecking the ship. Look in verse 17, in the middle of it says, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. The quicksands, there's places in the world today where there's ships, bunches of them, on the quicksands. They're there. They just leave them there as a reminder to the ships that are passing by. They've even put buoys out there with lights on them and say, hey, don't be like these guys. Don't run into the quicksands here. So they were afraid of the location where they were the boats would get hung up on the quicksands. But then the Bible said the sailors feared, and before they hit the quicksands, they straight sail, as it says there in the Bible. That means they took the sails down. Now they're at the mercies of the wind. No longer do they have any guidance anymore. That's what sin does for us, doesn't it? It's fun at first, but then it's replaced by fear and fretting. Hebrews 11:25 says, pleasure of sin is for a season. I like what Billy Sunday said. Sin's sweetness soon sours. Repeat that 10 times. I'll give you a dollar. You won't be able to do it. So the losses from not listening, they lost control. They lost calm. But the four troubles, the last trouble they had was trouble with the lady. Look at verses 18 and 19. I'm almost done. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. That meant that they had to get rid of some things. They lightened the ship. That means they got rid of the grain, the food that they were carrying, the unnecessary things that they cast them all overboard. The Bible said later on, with their own hands, they got rid of all the stuff. And it's a good thing that they did, because it probably helped them in the long run there. So they're not only lost their power in the thing of calm, not only lost their peace, not only lost their pleasure, but they lost their purpose. God's people can't lose our purpose. Our purpose is to win the lost to Christ. I hope you're a soul winner. I can't walk down streets like I used to, but I can still give out tracts. I got some in my pocket here. I can still give them out at Walmart or Sam's Club, the gas station, or leave them wherever I'm at. I can still do that. We need to understand God doesn't want us to lose our purpose. The side of the boat is open. Let's invite people to come in. Thank you for that. Folks back there on that second to the last row joined our church last Sunday. Praise the Lord for them. That's what our purpose is to fill up the church get more people out soul winning, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you got problems with your control or your calm, the Bible says it best in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word laden is an interesting word. That means loaded up with toils, burdens, difficulties of life. I could tell from the prayer request, many of you are loaded up with toils, difficulties, cancer, heart attacks, strokes. All of these things are difficulties in life. But thank God, he says, come unto me, all ye are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, that's a promise you can lean on. I could tell you something tonight. You can't lean on anything I say, but you can lean on the promises of God. They will not break. Thank God we have a Savior that can help us in our life. So they eliminated the cargo light in their ship. And I just have this key that I put in my notes here. Wealth and possessions lose their value when physical life is in jeopardy. You don't care what kind of home you're living in. You don't care how many things you have. When your life is in jeopardy, you just want to get things right in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's not lose our purpose for him. And then lastly, they have the loss of confidence in verse number 20. Verse 20 says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, she sung in that song tonight, that we should be saved was then taken away. Can you imagine that? In verse number 27, it mentioned that this went on for 14 days. Can you picture that? No sun, no stars for 14 days. No small tempest for 14 days. No sense of direction, wandering at sea, not knowing where you're at. All hope was taken away. Only death remains. That's kind of a description of a wayward life, a life that's away from the Lord. Psalm 13:12 says, hope deferred or hope delayed maketh the heart sick. But when hope desired, it is a tree of life. You know, God wants to help us tonight. That word hope in the Latin is the word cupo, which means a belief that's obtainable. There's three elements of your Christian character you need to understand here tonight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, many of you know this by heart, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now we can't, if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to lose it. But you can lose your hope. You can lose your charity. Let's not lose our hope or our charity until the Lord calls us home through the rapture or through death. There's going to be up and downs in your life. We're going to go through a lot of different things. But we got to be confident. One day soon we'll be seated on the heavenly shores. One day soon we're going to see our Savior face to face. Won't it be wonderful then, having no burdens to bear? Isn't that going to be a wonderful place? Thank the Lord for that. So let's not experience losses from not listening. The loss of control, doing things our way. The loss of calm, being caught and driven away, and by the choices we make, open ourselves up to the wiles of the devil. And a loss of confidence. Let's get back on track for God. At the military base, they always had a setting. I told this to the Glory Days class probably a month ago, I think. They always had a saying that always amazed me. I was able always to do door-to-door soul winning on military bases until 2001. 9/11 came about. You can't get on a base anymore. But I was able to get in the dorms of these guys, visit them in their own dorms, sit down with them around the table and talk to them about the precious word of God. But they always had this saying, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, don't give in, don't back down, don't quit. And they had another word that they used, but I always told them, I like this better. Let's just be faithful. Let's stay faithful, fellas. And I enjoyed working with the military. They know how to listen to commands. Would that all of God's people would not get losses from not listening to the Word of God. Amen and amen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given me tonight to speak in pastor's absence. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts here tonight. I'm going to let Pastor BJ close our service as he sees fit. But Lord, I pray that it's been a meaningful time for us here tonight. It's a blessing as I studied. And I'll be honest, Lord, and you know my heart. I've been out of control at times in my life. I've lost my calm in my life at times. And I've lost my hope or confidence. But thank you, Lord. If I go to you in prayer, if I repent and confess my sins, you promised, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Do that in our hearts and minds here tonight. And I'll thank and praise you and give you all the glory and honor for everything tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen.